All right, if you have your Bible tonight, we'll turn to 2 Timothy 2. We're going to be using our Bibles as we do all the time, but not in just one passage tonight. And continuing our series leading up to where we'll speak more specifically about spiritual gifts. Tonight's the theme of tonight is building the church. Building the church. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2 are familiar, I would think, to most of us. It says, "Thou therefore, my son," Paul writing to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Context of this passage is relating to giving, but I think we can apply it as well to our theme tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 12, it says, "For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." First be a willing mind. God, in building the church, God uses us. He uses believers. Yes, Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." And we believe that. Jesus will build the church. But Jesus uses his children. Jesus uses those who have trusted him as personal Savior and have decided to follow Jesus. That's one of the main purposes of being a Christian, is to be a follower of Christ, not an observer, but a participator. We have a lot of observers many times, but we need participators. That's who God uses. It's not a deep statement. God builds his church with his people. So if you are saved tonight, you are either part of the building process or you're not. It's not that you're in the middle. And in fact, I would say that if we're not part of the building process, then probably, in a sense, we're doing a disservice to the building process. We're taking away from it. It's not that we can just be on the sidelines. It's that the building of the church is not going to advance as it ought to be unless we get more involved. And I know I'm speaking to the Wednesday night crowd, as we say. So Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we're not going to turn there, but that's one of the verses of the Great Commission. That is the A plan of God. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, teach them, baptize them, bring them into the nurture and admonition of the Lord as children, so forth and so on. There isn't a plan B. It's one plan that God has set forth to build his church, and that is to use his children in the building of it. That's how it started in the first century in our Bibles that we have here today, in the churches of the different cities that you can read about in the New Testament, and all the way up to 2019, it hasn't changed. That's just how God has done his work through his people. And it is clear, as we see in our Bibles, that the church is to be involved in God's plan, in God's commission, if you will, and in every way possible. This is where, once again, we insert the talk about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are to be used in the church to help fulfill the Great Commission and bring glory to God, to help in the building of the local church. It is our responsibility. It is our task. Now, we might say, or we might think, whatever I can do is not recognizable by anyone. It doesn't matter. Do you realize that a lot, and I'm going to be very careful, I'm not trying to be rude or unkind, but a lot, thanks be to God for this, by the way, that a lot of our body is covered. You don't see, you don't want to see either, my pinky toe. Yeah, I'm not going to show it to you. But you know what? It's pretty important. I need that pinky toe. It's not recognizable by you. You should be saying yes, praise the Lord for that. But you know what? I know it's there, and I, you know what? It's when our body isn't functioning. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but it's when our body isn't functioning properly in certain areas that we recognize it. Okay, so the statement is this: whether my gift is recognizable or not does not diminish the importance of the gift that God has given me or the gifts that God has given me. And this is something that you can say, it's not just about me. They are all needed so that the functioning of the body of Christ can work together. Every one of us building the church, that is part of our goal, that is part of our purpose in saving us, in giving us this spiritual gift. A gift, here's a quote, a gift is something freely given from one to another. A gift cannot be earned or it would cease to be a gift. We know this about salvation. Amen. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Same thing with your spiritual gift. A gift is also different than learned abilities and natural abilities. Spiritual gifts cannot be taught or learned, but they can be developed. We talked a little bit about that last week. This is where it comes into 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 12. A moment ago, we read the phrase, willing mind. Now, again, I will say it again. The context of this chapter is referring to giving an offering. But I don't believe we do it disservice by saying that in our spiritual gifts, it doesn't matter if you have 10 spiritual gifts. If you don't have a willing heart, it won't accomplish anything. They won't accomplish anything. It doesn't matter if you've got 3 gifts from the Lord, and we're slowly working our way to that. The point is tonight that we're looking at is an attitude of willingness. What does the word willing mean? The word willing here means a zeal and an eagerness. Think about your Christian life. Do you sense in your Christian life tonight some zeal? Or do you sense that maybe your zeal has gone back? Maybe your fervor, I don't know if you understand the word zeal, fervor, passion, you know? We can get passionate about certain things, and you name a certain topic, and some people will be passionate about, old vehicles, restored vehicles, and people talk about cars, or you know what I'm saying? We all have non-spiritual things that we have a zeal for or a passion for. Well, that's exactly what God needs. God needs a church with a people that are willing to use their spiritual gifts for God's glory, that are zealous about it, that are passionate about it, that are eager. Not that are saying, no, I don't even want to try to figure out what my spiritual gift is. I just like coming to church, sitting down, and going home. And that's a disservice. That's a disservice to the body of Christ. We need to be eager and zealous and willing, whatever our spiritual gift is, to use it for God's glory. To do what? To help in the building of the church. Notice another thing about that verse. I don't know if you're still in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, but I think it's interesting that at the end of the verse, it says, not according to that he hath not. Again, it's talking about giving. I understand that. But I think we can also say tonight that the person behind you, in front of you, beside you, they may have a gift that you wish you had. That's not what this is about. It's not about being willing to do something that you're not equipped to do. This is about being willing and eager and zealous and eager and to do something that you can do. I wrote this statement down. God asks of us only what we can do. And it's not us doing it. You understand that. But he's not asking me to be anything other than what he has equipped me to be from the very moment I got saved in April of 1983. From that point on, God has given me a gift or gifts to use for his glory, and he doesn't expect me to use your gifts, Brother John. If yours don't match mine, that's okay. That's why when we bring all the gifts of the Spirit together, we have a beautiful thing. What is it called? It's called a church that is growing. And that doesn't mean in numerical growth necessarily, but it's growing and it's getting strengthened in the Lord. He obviously knows what you can do tonight because he's equipped you to do it. He knows what I can do tonight because he's equipped me to do it. And you might be, and God might be, the only two people that realize what you are capable of doing for his glory. But let me just encourage you with that, that you can do it. I want you to ask yourself, and I want you to think about it, am I doing what I can? Here's a question. Why are some effective and others of no effect? Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Why are some effective and others of no effect? Matthew chapter 15. Now again, this isn't meant to be for us to look around and find people that are of no effect. This is for you to look in the spiritual mirror of God's word and see, could I be more effective? Should I be more zealous? And that doesn't mean you have to talk loud and smile and jump up and down to be zealous. Not everybody gets zealous in the same way. But it means that we should have a willing mind for this thing of our spiritual gifts. Look at Matthew 15 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." Now here in Matthew chapter 15, the law of God was in reference to honoring their parents. And you can read this for yourself, and I believe it would be beneficial for you to do that. But they had instituted a thing called Corban, C-O-R-B-A-N. What this meant was that someone that did not want to fulfill the responsibility of honoring their parents could say Corban, and they would give an amount of money, and many times that amount of money would go to the temple, and they would be of their responsibility. Basically, they could pay off their responsibility of taking care of their dad and mom. And Jesus here is saying, this is Jesus speaking here, and he's saying, let's look at it one more time, maybe go up to, and basically, if you in the context here, they've kind of bashed the disciples about not washing their hands before they ate food and so forth in verse number 2, and then Jesus just goes right back at him in verse 3. Let's look at 5. "But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or to his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me," that's that Corban that they're talking about there, "and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." And what's the first two words of verse 7? "Ye hypocrites." Basically, if you keep reading there, you'll see that he's saying, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And what did he say? He said that you made the commandment of God of none effect. Anytime I neglect God's clear commands, I can be sure that I will make his blessings of none effect. God does not bless disobedience. You believe that? Whether you believe it or not, it's true. God, and if I don't believe it, it's true, it doesn't matter. God does not bless disobedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. God blesses obedience. God blesses faithfulness. God doesn't bless necessarily a talent, but if we have a gift that God has given to us and we're not, and we go and we bury it, that's not being a good steward of what God has given us. We know those texts. By the way, the words none effect, it comes from a Greek word, katargeo, K-A-T-A-R-G-E-O, which means to destroy, to abolish, to be done away, to make idle, to make inactive. That's where many Christians are in 2019. I believe they're saved, they're on their way to heaven. I believe in it, down deep they love the Lord, but their Christian life is like having the fanciest electronic device you could imagine with no battery or no power to plug in anywhere. It's of none effect. You can go buy the most awesome computer, but when the battery runs out, if you don't have a place to plug in, it doesn't matter if it's $1 million computer is Value Village sell computers? Anyway, or a $100 computer with no power, it is of none effect. You get what I'm saying, right? And that's where I don't want to be at as a Christian. I don't want to end up on the sideline. I don't want to end up of none effect, meaning having to be done away, to make inactive. Think about it. How many Christians in 2019 are inactive? How many times have I been inactive? How many times have you been? How many times have we been inactive? God did not save me to be inactive. God did not save me to be unwilling. God did not save me to go at this thing in a haphazard or in a casual way. No, He saved me to grow in grace. He saved me and gifted me to bring honor in Him and all of this to help in the building of the church. And by the way, that's not a structure, that's people. Who are you helping to build? We should all be helping to build people in some way or another. So none effect is like having the most expensive electronic device but not plugging it in or not having a battery. No connection to the Spirit equals none effect. Turn quickly to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Building the church. Galatians 5. And you could probably quote this verse from memory, verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are what? Contrary. It's impossible for us to hold our hand in the works of the flesh and then say, okay, I want to use my spiritual, you hear that, the term? Spiritual gift. That's like saying I've got a hand in the world and I've got a hand in the spiritual. Who gave us our gifts? Holy Spirit, right? We can't have a hand in the world and have a hand on our spiritual gift and expect it to accomplish anything. We're going to be of none effect. Sin in my life makes me of none effect. The end of verse 17. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. I would think that everybody here, if you were, I think you would be honest, and I would say, how many of us, if I talked to you privately, and I said, you know what, how many of us, we want to help build the church? I think we probably, every one of us here, that are older, you know, I'm sure 4-year-olds want to help build the church too. They'd probably be the ones that say it the loudest. But I think we'd be honest, yeah, I want to help build the church. But you see what Paul said here? If we have sin in our life, and it's contrary to the Spirit, and we won't be able to do the things that we would. End of verse 17. Well, again, it comes back to keeping sin out of our life. Quickly turn to Luke 13. Sin causes me to be of none effect. Sin causes me to be barren. Sin causes me to be unfruitful. That's what we're going to see here in Luke 13. Something was unfruitful. Luke 13, verse number 7. Verse 6 and 7. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard and came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree and find none. I find none. It's of none effect. It's idle, fruitless. Why cumbereth it the ground? That word cumbereth, similar to of none effect. It means to render idle, inactive, inoperable. So here we have a tree taking up space, and it was rendering the ground. A lot of times we think about the tree, and we should. But unless there's good what? Soil, you're not going to have good fruit. Got to have good dirt, amen? Jesus says, why is it making this really good dirt idle? It's wasting the dirt's time. Think about it. We are planted in Christ, are we not? We are planted in Christ. And I think the same correlation can be made that when Jesus comes and he sees me or he sees you and he sees all of us at times, and I don't want to be edifying, but I also want to be convicting, the Spirit convicting us tonight, and he sees us and he comes by 1 week or the next month or the next year, and it's like, why is Ben cumbering the ground that he's planted in? I didn't save you to be idle. I didn't save you to just sit. I didn't save you to be passive. I saved you to serve me. I saved you to say no to the world. I saved you to love me. I saved you. We love him because he first loved us. Jesus says, why cumbereth it the ground? It was of none effect. In the Old Testament, a fruitful tree was often used as a symbol of godly living. We won't turn there for time, but Psalm 1 verse 3 and Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 talk about the fruitful tree saying godly living, a picture of godly living. Jesus points out what would happen to the other kind of tree, the kind that takes up time and space and doesn't produce anything. Our goal as children of God must be to be effective in helping to edify and equip other believers, serving the Lord through the local church, bringing honor and glory to him. In conclusion, building the church is to be a corporate adventure. And it is an adventure, isn't it? It's an adventure serving the Lord. Because we have an agenda, but God's agenda is better. Or best, excuse me. That's why I say it's an adventure. Because sometimes I think God is going this way, and God says, no, I'm not going that way. I'm going this way. And you know what? We can try to keep going that way, and I've tried before. We can try to keep going that way, but we're not going to get anywhere going that way if God's going this way. It's an adventure. Building the church is not dependent on any one man, one family, one lady, one individual. We must strive together for the glory of God. We've read it maybe every week, Romans 12, 4 and 5. The Bible says, For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ. And everyone members one of another. The body needs all members functioning properly. The body needs all members to be of a willing mind, eager to do something for the Lord's glory. As I mentioned a moment ago, we can all agree to the importance of even a finger or a toe tonight. I might even go as far as to say, without getting too gross or whatever, a finger or a toenail are important. We'll just leave it at that. We call them small members. When they are not functioning properly or they are infected. Have you ever trimmed your toenail improperly? Anyway, it's not good. It can get infected. You get that ingrown toenail. Let's just keep moving on. That's just painful talking about it. I had a gout attack 2 weeks ago. Oh my goodness. I forgot the curse of gout. You know what? When that happens, you're made aware of how nice it was to not have pain. We are made aware of how important every even small member is to the overall function of the body. Isn't it great, though, how God made our body? When one little member is not functioning properly, the body sends help. Brother Kim's been teaching me that. The body sends help. Okay, head down there. Get down there. Maybe we should take some notes to how God made our body. That when even somebody in the church isn't functioning properly, we don't cut off our toe when it hurts. We've got to figure out what the problem is. It might take some digging. It might take some work to get it cleaned out. It might be painful. But we don't chop our toe off, do we? So when someone is not functioning properly within the church, we don't chop them off. We try to help them. Try to edify them. We try to encourage them. That's what I would want. That's what you would want. The biblical picture is clear. To be a Christian, to belong to Jesus Christ, is to be part of his body. Everyone members one of another. Therefore, we ought to serve him through the church and do our best to be willing church members.